Marco.
He hasn't come on yet.
All right, thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
I think that you're both here then.
Yes,
we are.
So let us begin. We're on section 16, verse 141 of the Sulam commentary on the Zohar for Parasha Lech Lecha. And we'll start with the Lishem Yichud. Lishem Yichud, Kud Shabari Ku, Ishkinte, Bitkiluur, Himu, Utkilu, Utkiluur, Kib. Leakta, Lishem, Yudhe, Bavavhe. Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Vasok Torah Mitzvah Vayino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananei Amar Rabbi Shimon Tachatzei Kol Arasa Dechachata Yehud V'Karamaz Aka behachmata, bedargin diltata, deka nachit Avraham, leom kayayo, dilchon uyada, lon uyada itabek, behov uytav, leka me. Maria. Before I forget, I apologize for missing the Psalms class this morning.
That was okay. It was a hectic time for me, so it would have been hard for me to keep to be able to stay on. So it worked out okay.
Well, it's still something I don't like to do, so.
Oh, we know.
The translation of verse 141. Rabbi Shimon said, come and see. Everything is in accordance with the secret of wisdom. The verse here alludes to Chachma, which is wisdom, and grades below, referring to the grades of the Egyptians, who draw down Chachma. And Abraham went down to these great depths and knew them all, but did not attach himself to them. Rather, he returned to his master. My commentary is that this pasuk is teaching a spiritual law. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Referring to the grades of the Egyptians and drawing down wisdom, does it mean from the negative tree of life?
It's a good question, but I'm going to ask you to answer it. The reason I'm asking you to answer it is I think it takes some contemplation.
Well, I felt like I needed to reread it before I answered you because I was having a hard time concentrating. Let me just reread it quietly.
Not a problem.
And grades below, well, that could mean the other stuff he wrote, Chachma. The grades of the Egyptians, he drew down Chachma. Well, it could possibly be not the negative system because of what we learned yesterday and the day before about Hashem speaks to all. And if they're asked, if their feminine water is going down, separate from, from Hashem, well, then it is a positive too. see. He went down to those great depths and knew them all, but did not attach himself to them. Okay, so that's the negative system of things. You're going to have to help me. I'm too tired.
I will
I think
tell you.
I'm the biggest woman on planet Earth. I tell you, I really do. If I tell you everything that happened to me,
but the analysis you went through is important for me to hear. So,
mm-hmm.
But I think somebody else was starting to talk.
I think yes, they did draw down hot mud without mercy. They drew down strict judgment and not mercy.
Well, if he didn't attach himself, that kind of...
Because he's mercy. He saw Kassadin.
Well,
so that's my thought.
It's an excellent thought. But don't make the mistake of confusing mercy and loving kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham is a chariot for Chesed. And you are right that it has to do with Chachma being without Chesed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When Chachma is drawn from the left column, it lacks Chesed. And that is judgment, as you said. And so the spiritual law that is being taught is that there is a negative system who has a purpose. And the essence of the negative system is the Sephirah of wisdom, of Chachma, without loving kindness, without Chesed. Abraham, being connected to Chesed, needed to know all of the lower Sephirot of the Tree of Life. But had he attached himself to that, to those lower levels, he wouldn't be the chariot for Chesed. That's what the idea of returning to his master, going to the right place at the right time with the right consciousness and the right action. This is essentially the right place was Mitzrayim, but Mitzrayim isn't the land of Egypt in our physical world. Mitzrayim is a limitation on the full consciousness of the Sephirah, of each Sephirot. There's a tree of life and there's a tree of knowledge, good and evil. What is the difference? The tree of life, I'm not going to say we know, but I don't want to go into the details of it. The tree of knowledge, good and evil, is the tree of life without the surrounding Chesed. It's wisdom without justice. It's judgment without justice. It's the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. There is only one spiritual system. It can be utilized as a desire to receive for oneself alone, God forbid, and that's called evil. Or it can be utilized for a desire to receive in order to share. There is no difference between the two trees except the connection to loving kindness. Now, what I've said needs to be contemplated. It needs to be understood. You need to meditate upon it to come to understand the truth of this and why God didn't create two systems, but does not allow loving kindness to connect to the tree of knowledge. In the Bible, it says that the tree of knowledge, the tree of life, is in the center of the garden. And immediately afterwards, it talks about the tree of knowledge. But how can you have two trees in exactly the center of the garden? They have to be the same tree.
Okay, otherwise,
God forbid, God is lying. His Torah is false, God forbid. Because the statement isn't true. If there's two trees, you cannot have two trees in the center of the garden. One of them has to be in the center. The other one has to be off-center. Or they're both off-center. Now you can understand why all I said was the pasuk is teaching us spiritual law. I didn't give you any hints as to what it was. And you can understand now why I asked Hannah to push herself. The question is good. But if I gave that answer without you doing the analysis first, how well would you have accepted it, and how well would you live with it and understand it?
Well, I'll tell you, I made a cover for our Deeper Zohar class, and on it I have, I guess, a clip art that I found somewhere, and that's the picture that came in my mind. It's one tree, but at the top are the roots, and then an extended body, and then at the bottom, roots again. So I saw the one tree, but I didn't know if we were talking, you know, that's the picture I thought, with the sephirot in the middle part of, I guess, what we call the bark. So I saw the one tree, but I saw the roots at the top, the roots at the bottom. That, my question was, is it positive or negative, you know? Always take one, I don't know how to word, but that was a picture that came in my mind. And,
I appreciate it. Your intuition is always right. I don't want to say always right. I shouldn't say always right, but the majority of the time your intuition is right. What you picture is correct. But here is an example where you didn't follow through with it.
Well, it's because I rushed in the room, hurried up, sat down, grabbed the book, grabbed the text, you know, turned to the page, went to see what page we were on, and you were by that time, you know, starting to read.
Right.
You know, rush, which is typical. Today's our 60th anniversary, and it's just been a lot of things happening. All. So, anyway.
I understand. Does anybody have any questions or need any clarification on what's been said? It's a very deep teaching.
Mm-hmm. So, how does Kabbalah visualize the Tree of Life system? I always heard that it was an upside-down tree.
No, Malchut that, is upside down.
The world we live in is upside down. Huh?
The world we live in is upside down.
Right. That's kind of what I meant. Yes. We're upside down.
The tree isn't upside down. The tree is right side up. The roots are at the top.
Right.
And the fruit is at the bottom. That's the tree of life.
Okay.
Our world is the roots are concealed in the ground, and the trees grow okay. upwards.
Right.
It's not the way the tree of life is.
Okay.
And one of the images that we've described before is that the world of Malchut, the physical world, has the two trees. One grows up and one grows down from the physical world. The one growing down we call the negative tree. We see them as mirror images of each other.
Okay.
But there's only one tree. So how do we understand the mirror image? It's exactly the concept of the mirror image. When you look in the mirror, are there two of you or one of you? There's only one of you. But the mirror image is false. It's not you. Remember, I've talked with you and suggested that you don't accept a glyph of the Tree of Life where there's lines from Netzach and Hod into Malchut.
Mm-hmm.
That's a false tree.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And why do people see it that way?
They've been told that all their lives, I guess. I mean,
in the Tree of Life, Zerampin, which is Yesod, has to connect completely and unify completely with Malchut.
Mm-hmm.
Netzach and Hod can't be communicating with Malchut through those lines, because that would interfere in the unification of Malchut with the Zera, with the Yesod. Why do people see the lines? Why do they draw the lines and think that that's correct? Because it's a lie, it's a tree, the tree of knowledge, good and evil, is a tree of separation where everything is separated, which is the world we live in. But is everything separated? Intellectually, we see separation. Intellectually, we know from the teachings of Kabbalah that there is no separation. But if I see no separation, if I know there's no separation, intellectually, how do I implement that? How do I unify that into my body?
Thinking of the two layers put together is the way I visualize that talk and hold. I've tried to get away from it. But being a very visual person, I still, from time to time, need to think right, left, because I guess that from so many years of doing the opposite thing in front of first graders and second graders, you know, if I said right, I had to raise my left hand, and it kind of, when you do that for 25 years, it does something to your brain. But anyway, trying to get away from the glyph, but thinking of Netzach and Hod and which one comes first, on which one is right and which one is left, I've kind of been seeing the legs, but then to keep the Netzach and Hod from being separated, I think of the legs together. But it's still, in a way, maybe a glyph. I don't know. I just never know. After a while, get to where it's so internalized that then you don't have to think of the glyph or you don't have to think of your legs. But I'm
right.
still at the point sometimes that I have to think that way, especially if I've had a baby.
Well, you're a visual learner, and so it's not a glyph as long as it's in your mind. The problem is that we see a picture of a glyph, and then that's what we think of in our mind. So, you know, how do you take words and visualize them in your as a picture in your head?
See, most of the time, it's the opposite with me. I see the picture, and I'm trying to put words to my picture. Like a while ago when that picture came in my head of the tree with roots at the top and roots at the bottom, I stopped at a certain point because mere image didn't come to my mind to be able to speak it out. But then you said it, you know, so that was the word I was searching for. But
the important thing to learn, there's many important things in this pasuk, but it's important to realize that when you see the name Avraham, you need to recognize the Sefirah of Chesed and substitute it immediately in your mind. And that will help with your pictures. It will help describe your pictures. It's not easy, as we always say. It's simple, but it's never easy. We're almost out of time. Is any other aspects you want to talk about? We don't have time to go on to the next pasuk.
So Abraham went down to the grave. He had to understand the different worlds. So that he could bring the necessary light down from loving kindness. I mean, maybe we should touch point on the graves. It's the difference that we wrote. But he had to make his impression there, but he didn't stay. He didn't attach. It wasn't time to do so because was Bina brought in at that point? I know that Tachna and Bina is always in unity.
So how did the Egyptians, the lower Sephiroth, draw Chachma without Chesed? It has to flow through Bina.
Right.
But if we go to phase two from Rabbi Ashlag's teaching, which is Bina, Bina has a desire to share.
Mm-hmm.
But the statement is, I have a desire to share. It means there's an aspect of the ego that conceals the wisdom. That ego is a limitation, and that's the meaning of Mitzrayim, limitation. Anything else? We'll have a Zohar class tonight at our 7 o'clock class. That would be for the parasha of Vayera. Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy anniversary, Hannah.
Thank you.
How many years is it, Hannah?
60.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. What a blessing, huh?
Truly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Certainly. Shall I, May I make a joke that is probably inappropriate, because I really don't apply this statement to you, but I find it very funny.
Okay.
There's a couple that I burnt
my bubble today.
So tell me a joke.
There's a couple that I eat dinner with with a whole bunch of other people, but it. We eat dinner almost every night, and they've been married 66 years. In November, it was the 66th wedding anniversary. But the only way that they can stay together is that he has an apartment on the 8th floor, and she has an apartment on the 1st floor.
Oh, well. I'll make no comment. I could tell you he sleeps in the bed and I sleep on the recliner because my bed is on the mattress. So. Oh, well. It's still a blessing that we even reach this. And when I think 4 surgeries since August, you know, and we came through it, and I mean, it was like Hashem just opened the spiritual world and I saw it all, you know, and I'm just thankful for that because that doesn't happen all the time, you know.
No, I know.
And I just, you know. I think the sad part is...
You have a wonderful evening and a wonderful balance of the 61st year, okay?
Okay, I'll go tell Tony the joke. He'll get a kick out of it.
and many more. Many more.
Thank you. All right.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.